So here we are. We have moved into the last half of August. Parents are taking the kids on back-to-school shopping trips. And from parent to parent, there's conversation and buzz and speculation about who's going to be teaching little Johnny, which teachers will still be there, who'll be gone when the kids return from summer vacation. When teachers leave a school, it hits students hard. A researcher from the University of Michigan and his colleagues studied data over an 8-year period and found teacher turnover harms student learning, especially in math and English. And it's not just the kids who have to cope with a new teacher who suffer. Students of teachers who remain in the same grade and the same school from one year to the next are also harmed by teacher turnover. And then there's the dollars and cents view. A study by the National Commission on Teaching and America's Future estimates that teachers dropping out of the profession cost the nation, get ready for this, about $7 billion a year. Trying to stem teacher turnover and keep teachers in the classroom and in the profession. That's the mission of my next guest. Randy Stanulis is an associate professor of education at Michigan State University. And she directs a teacher mentoring program that some say could ultimately serve as a national model. Randy Stanulis joins us now from East Lansing. Hi, Randy.
Hello. Thanks for having me on.
Well, research has found, I couldn't believe this when I read this, nearly 50% of new teachers leave within 5 years.
Right. And those statistics are primarily for urban areas where we really need to have excellent teachers who provide a stable workforce for our for the kids and for the communities. But yes, that those are the numbers.
And just to be clear, are they leaving a specific school and district, or are they bailing out of the teaching profession altogether?
I know that there's differing statistics for both of those questions. Those are really good ones. I do know that from just anecdotally from my own students who have participated in our induction program, that unfortunately many of them leave the profession because they just feel that they're left alone to teach and they feel unsupported and they feel like they had such ideals for how they were going to make a difference and those were so unfulfilled that they leave the profession. Now, there are other cases. A district where I worked that I won't name, it's not in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
It's a large district where some of the district's population was in very high poverty schools, and that's where primarily new teachers were placed. But then as soon as they have 1 or 2 years of experience, they then fly as fast as they can to the suburban schools, which then have much smaller amounts of percentages of teacher turnover. So the half of their district is always having that revolving door, always having
wow.
new teachers. So I think there's some cases that people tend to fly from urban to suburban, and there are some cases where they leave the profession altogether. And then there are some there are some programs, University of Michigan and Michigan State, have really made it a mission to focus on preparing teachers who want to stay in urban schools. So I think, that's one way that we're trying through teacher preparation to make a difference in teacher turnover as well.
It strikes me as you talk about this high dropout rate from the profession of these new teachers, because seriously, within 5 years, you're still a baby teacher,
exactly.
If you will. And it strikes me that medical students graduate and nobody expects a newly minted graduate medical student to start operating on patients the next week. You have
exactly.
to look at a 5 to 7 year residency training program before that happens. So, but aren't we doing that to these newly minted teachers?
I have said that exact line in many speeches across the country, that there's no other profession that just has a sink or swim mentality like teaching. Yeah, so that's why I think some places are moving to more of a residency model. Like I know one of my former doctoral students is now working with the Boston Teacher Residency, where they specifically work with the students to have a really intensive lab-based experience where the teachers who are mentoring them have very intensive professional development where the instructors are serving in a clinical role where they're always in the schools, and so that first year that they're teaching is much more scaffolded than any of us do, in the country.
I'm speaking with Randy Stanulis, who's an associate professor of education at Michigan State University, and she directs a teacher mentoring program that's called Launch Into Teaching. And some are saying that this program could ultimately serve as a national model. Now, let's focus in here on Michigan. We know there's legislation that requires new teachers to be supervised by a mentor teacher for the first 3 years of their career. But what's missing, in your view, from this state plan?
Yes, I was actually involved with some of the wonderful people from NDE who helped to craft that legislation. And I was part also with Barbara Markle from Michigan State. We led this initiative called Assist Beginning Teachers, which is still alive as a website. If you Google Assist Beginning Teachers, it's a resource for Michigan mentors and principals and new teachers to provide some support, because what's missing from legislation is that it really only requires teachers to be assigned a mentor, and it neglects the fundamental principles of the selection of people who can be exemplary mentors and the preparation of people that can be to be exemplary mentors, and also the role that school leaders play in promoting beginning teacher learning, understanding beginning teacher learning, and really having a role in creating a whole school culture that creates a more stable teaching force.
And there's no dedicated funding, is there?
There is no dedicated funding. Exactly, exactly. That is, of course, a primary problem.
And so what I think I'm hearing is, well, yeah, there's a mentoring program, but it's in name only in many cases. And right. So the right people aren't being picked to be mentors, nor are they given the support or the funding to really do the job.
Exactly. And that's not a problem only in Michigan. I think that's pretty pervasive across the country, that people will say, oh, yes, I have a mentor. I'm teaching second grade. My mentor is the art teacher in the other building, or, you know, or I have a mentor, yes, but she's been in to see me twice the whole year or something like that. That's the more typical problem, and that's why a lot of people dismiss mentoring as a function of really helping someone learn. And our program works at selection and very intensive professional development that's sustained for mentors over 2 to 3 years so they can understand the learning needs of beginning teachers. And also, we work very closely with the principals, because I think that's the other missing piece, that if I know instructional leaders or principals feel like their role, they have so many different things to do in their role, but
yeah.
That instructional leadership part is the part that makes the school thrive and is often neglected.
You've been running Launch Into Teaching in the Lansing School District. How long have you been doing that?
We were in Lansing from 2005 to, I think, 2009. At that time, toward the end, they had very few beginning teachers, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
What did
the
data show you as far as is the effectiveness of your program?
We have conducted several studies in different sites around the country in different districts where we've been. And in every case, we have engaged in pre- and post-observation. So we've observed a control group of teachers who are not in our program, as well as our teachers who are receiving the induction treatment at the beginning and the end of 1 year, and in all cases, we've always shown that there's been a pretty dramatic difference between our teachers and the other teachers in the district, because we target one element of effective teaching, which is discussion-based teaching, and that's a teaching practice that's associated with exemplary teachers, and it's often a practice mm-hmm. that beginning teachers are introduced to during their teacher preparation program and then feel that they have absolutely no time or support or energy to try to do during their beginning years. And that's a lot of the reason that I think that instruction suffers for beginning teachers in their early years. So we have them doing something pretty ambitious in their first year, supported by a mentor. And then, you know, principals in Atlanta, where we worked before, would say to the superintendent, the beginning teachers in this project outperformed the veterans in the state test.
Wow. That tells you that's some pretty good data to support what you're doing. Take us deep into the actual workings of the program in a school. How are mentors chosen and matched and trained, and most importantly, supported in a way that's better than what we see in our state now?
Well, it happens differently in different districts. The main criteria that I'd say, and this is, I know, anyone who's done this work will know this is the hardest, is that it has to have the support of central administration, the superintendent. And that's actually another thing that happened in Lansing. Sharon Banks, who was superintendent at the time, helped actually. She was a major player in developing the induction program with me. She was a partner, and we led the program together. And then when she left, it wasn't the priority of the next superintendent.
Mm.
The same thing happened in Atlanta. So I think that that without that central district support, then it's much more complicated, because especially because all I do is work in urban districts, when the districts are so large, for them to think about a unified vision for how they want to approach induction, it can't really be building by building. Although in Detroit now I'm working in 28 charter schools where it really is building by building, and so I have to work much more intensively with individual principals on helping them understand the rationale and the vision. Definitely having criteria and having conversations about how important selection is definitely the first step.
And then matching the right mentor with the young teacher. What do you do
there?
Well,
that's the other thing that when I found when I started and I looked at the data across the country, really, that one of the things that we were finding was that people were not matched by grade level or content area, or sometimes even proximity in the building or proximity, they weren't even in the same building sometimes. Mm-hmm. So when we started working in Lansing, we changed the structure so that it was really that people were matched by either elementary or by content area, because they had not been that way in the past, so that they could really work on content-specific teaching.
Overall, Randy, what are your hopes for launch into teaching?
My biggest hope is to make a difference in the stability of the teaching force in urban schools so we can see the fruits of the efforts that we start over the years sustain, because that's my greatest worry is, like I'm sure you know, in so many education reforms, we start something, you start to see a change, and then people stop investing in it and they move on to the next reform. Mm. And I think teacher induction is something that needs a more sustained investment if you're going to really see the fruits of the as the teachers develop. Like you said before, most people leave before 5 years. Well, if we can keep those people there for 10 years and they have this kind of support from the very beginning of their teaching career to be really effective teachers, then just think what a great difference they could make, and they could become leaders in their districts. So to me, I guess my greatest hope is that it's given the opportunity to sustain itself long enough.
Randy Stanulis is an associate professor of education at Michigan State University. She directs this induction teacher mentoring program called Launch Into Teaching. Some say it could ultimately serve as a national model. Randy spoke to us today from East Lansing. Thanks for your time and talking with us today on the program, Randy.
Thank you very much.